Hi, welcome to episode 390 of the Fantastic Forecast. I'm David Elliott, and I'm doing something I've never done before. I'm recording this podcast while wearing a sweater vest. Today, Fantastic Four 390 from June 1994, Past Deceptions and Future Lies by Tom DeFalco and Paul Ryan. The issue begins with the Human Torch flying over New York City, and the sky is filled with flames, just like back in issue 48 when Galactus first appeared on Earth. That's because this is a flashback to issue 48 when Galactus first appeared on Earth. There were rocks in the sky blocking out the sun, and then the Silver Surfer arrived, looking to see if this planet was tasty enough for his boss to eat. And then, back in the future, where New York City lies in ruins, inside that large memorial to the Fantastic Four, the Watcher is discussing the past with Sue and Ben while Namor and Ant-Man stand there frozen. So the planet Earth has devolved into some kind of primordial state, and the Watcher blames himself. In order to save Earth from Galactus way back when, he had to violate his oath of non-interference, which is the prime directive of the Watchers, if you will. So back at FF headquarters, in the present, Johnny is quite pissed at Lyja the Skrull, having just found out, last issue, that the egg she laid isn't his. Rafael Suarez is like, maybe I should come back another time. So Lyja decides to explain, and she begins her story about how she was recruited by the Skrulls and by her ex-boyfriend Payabok, the Power Skrull, to pose as Alicia Masters and spy on the Fantastic Four. But instead of hooking up with the Thing, she fell in love with Johnny Storm and married him. But when her secret came out, the FF, along with Lyja, went off to rescue the real Alicia from the Skrulls, and Lyja was seemingly killed, but instead, as the FF escaped from the exploding Skrull base, Payabok took Lyja away, and they escaped together. Sorry to interrupt the flashback, but it's time to check in on the alternate dimension of Elsewhen, to check on two characters I don't really give a rat's ass about, the adult Franklin Richards and Huntara, who it was recently revealed is Reed's sister, although I assume Reed's sister in an alternate dimension. So there's this guy calling himself the Dark Raider, traveling from alternate reality to alternate reality, killing all the different versions of Reed Richards he can find. Man, he must really hate Reed Richards to go through all that trouble. If I were to kill my greatest enemy, I would only kill him once, right there in the good old 616. Which is the area code for Grand Rapids, Michigan, where my greatest enemy lives. So Franklin and Huntara need help. So they turn to the one man they can trust. The Warlord Kargol. Seems like such a nice guy. Yellow skin. Purple helmet with horns. He's shirtless. He's a bit, rotund, I would say. A bit rotund. He says he knows all about this Dark Raider fella. And how does he know about Dark Raider? Well, he's going to explain. So we start another flashback. Oh, son of a bitch. Can't one character finish their flashback before another character starts one? This issue is crazy. With flashbacks. It's lousy with flashbacks. So Warlord Kargol recalls how many years ago, when Franklin and Huntara were children, Nathaniel Richards showed up at Kargol's castle looking for help, needing someone to help train and harness Franklin's psi powers. Obviously, Nathaniel Richards is not aware of a certain school for gifted youngsters in North Salem, New York. So Kargol had his blacksmiths create a special suit of armor for Franklin to help focus his powers and abilities. Kargol says that despite his reputation as a butchering warlord, he can also be quite generous. So Franklin was trained in the Psi Arts. It's so hard to get good Psi Art training anymore. And Huntara was trained by Kargol's most fearsome gladiators and cutthroats. Now that is some homeschooling I can endorse. So years went by, and Nathaniel Richards became a trusted member of Kargol's staff, and he also spent a lot of time studying the time stream. And when Nathaniel Richards left, presumably to go screwing around with the time stream, Warlord Kargol appointed Huntara and Franklin as guardians of the time stream. And finally, Kargol has concluded that this Dark Raider asshole is none other than Nathaniel Richards, which seems to make sense. So back in the alternate future, inside that FF memorial, the Watcher continues his story, and we go back to his flashback. So anyway, Galactus was building this big machine on top of the Baxter building to help him eat and digest the energies of planet Earth. The Watcher showed up, told the FF about this weapon called the Ultimate Nullifier, which could be used to destroy the universe, and Galactus keeps the Ultimate Nullifier in his ship. And as we know, statistically speaking, people who keep Ultimate Nullifiers in their homes are far more likely to be the victims of Ultimate Nullifier violence. So the Watcher sent the Human Torch to Galactus' ship to get the Ultimate Nullifier, which was a smart move. Johnny didn't waste any time on Galactus' ship. He got the weapon and it came right back. But in this alternate reality, where they are now, things happened a little differently. Here, the Watcher sent Reed Richards to Galactus' ship, and you can imagine what happened, with Reed being Reed and all. But before we can find out what happened there, we have to head back to Lijah and Johnny and finish up with her flashback as she explains what happened after Payabok saved her from the exploding Skrull base. First, she was subjected to genetic re-manipulation, where they implanted that device in her that gave her the laser fist powers. Rafael Suarez speaks up, theorizing that he got the laser fist powers due to the principles of molecular biology that, well, Johnny butts in and tells him, "If I want any more crud out of you, I'll squeeze your head. Can't you see that I have no interest in anything you have to say at all?" You know, for once, I agree with Johnny completely. So Lijah explains that Egg isn't an egg, it's an artificial implant. Johnny's angry. He feels suckered in by the egg. Lijah tries to apologize. She tells Johnny that she loves him. And he says, "I'm through being burned by you, lady." And he huffs and he puffs, and he stomps out of the room. Back in the alternate future, the Watcher is continuing his story about what happened when he sent Reed Richards over to Galactus' ship to retrieve the Ultimate Nullifier. And when Reed got there, he was amazed by all the technology that Galactus had, and he was like a kid in a chocolate factory, checking out all of Galactus' inventions and weapons, and wasting a shitload of time. So much time, in fact, that while Reed was busy messing around, Galactus consumed the energies of planet Earth, killing billions of people. Oops. Ben starts to wonder aloud if this is the real Watcher that they know, because he seems like a huge whiner. Sue says, "Of course it's Uatu the Watcher. Who else would know so much about alternate Earths? Like, hasn't Ben ever read the comic book What If?" The Watcher says it was hard to watch the Earth be destroyed, the oceans being boiled, the land burned, billions of people crying out in horror, and were suddenly silenced. Ben wonders that if that happened, how did they end up on the planet of the apes, comparing the savage inhabitants of Earth to apes? The Watcher says the most fearful secret has yet to be revealed, and that secret is not revealed yet, because back in 1994, with the Human Torch, he's having a Ben Grimm-style temper tantrum, trashing the room with his flames, whining about how much he hates Lijah the Skrull. He gets interrupted by a message. He turns on the video monitor, and it's Black Panther, who wants to check on the FF and see how things are going with repairs to their building and equipment. Johnny is a dick, and he says, "Oh, so you want to rub that in our faces?" Black Panther says it was a gift. He's happy to help. But if Johnny wants to, he can give Black Panther a helping hand with something else. Johnny yells back, "No, you thought wrong. Go call the Avengers," and he hangs up on the Panther. Surprisingly, Black Panther is understanding, knowing that the FF have been under a lot of strain lately, and Johnny's still a young man. We learn that the Panther needed the help of the FF to check on this guy named Vibraxis, a youth in Wakanda who gained amazing superpowers. So Panther decides he needs to make other arrangements. Back in New York City, Johnny hears Lijah scream, so he runs to check it out, but before we can find out what that was, it's back to Castle Cargill, where Franklin is upset with Cargill for allowing his grandfather to travel around in time as the Dark Raider, killing Reed Richards's. Cargill says that Dark Raider is just a murderer, and Nathaniel Richards is the true threat, going around manipulating the time stream. Which is odd, because earlier he said that Dark Raider and Nathaniel Richards were one and the same. Now it sounds like he's talking about two different people. Get your story straight, Cargill. Franklin vows to stop his grandfather, and he'll do it without Cargill's help if he has to. Huntara tells Franklin to mind his tone, because Franklin's outburst pisses off Cargill, who orders his guards to take Franklin and place him in the dungeon. Franklin fights back against the guards, and Huntara jumps in to help, further pissing off Cargill, and the two of them escape together. Back in the alternate future, the Watcher is finishing up his story, telling Sue and Ben that the reason the FF Memorial was built was to remind the people of who is responsible for the destruction of Earth's civilization. Which is ridiculous. Who builds a giant statue to remember the people they hate? That would be like Israel building a statue of Hitler, or New Yorkers building a memorial to Osama bin Laden, or Mexico building a statue of me. I had a really bad drunken rampage last time I was there. You don't build statues for the people you hate. That's just weird. So Sue wants to know why they're there, and Ben wants to know what they're supposed to do. So the Watcher sends Ben and Sue back in time, and then back in 1994, Johnny finds Lijah looking at her egg. It's cracked. She cries out, "It's cracking open, Johnny! Something wants to get out!" She seems worried, which is kind of an odd reaction for an expectant mother. But then, right before the egg cracks open, Johnny disappears, and he finds himself back with Sue and Ben, and man, he's not happy. He wanted to find out what's in that damn egg. Me too. So anyway, the three of them get zapped by a laser. They get knocked to the ground. They get up again. They look up and they see that they're on the roof of the old Baxter building. And there's Galactus about to eat Earth. So they've traveled back in time on the alternate Earth, where I assume Reed is messing around on Galactus's ship. And the world is about to end. And that is where this issue comes to an end, to be continued next time. So that's all I got for now. You can download other episodes of this podcast to iTunes or find them all at www.podcastff.podbean.com. I've posted some of my favorite panels and covers from each issue of the FF on my blog at www.podcastff.blogspot.com. And if you have any questions about the Fantastic Four, about this podcast, or if you need relationship advice, you can email me at podcastff@gmail.com. So long, kids. This podcast is over.
Tonight the city is full of morgues, and all the toilets are overflowing. There's shopping malls coming out of the walls as we walk out among the manure. That's why.